Let us pray. Father God, open our hearts, open our ears, open our thoughts to receive your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and may it rest with us forever. Amen. I'm never quite sure whether it's easier to speak on a well-known passage or one that's not so well-known that nobody knows anything about. Well, I've been dealt this passage today. I want to put it into context as well. These things I haven't realised myself. I've read about them. I'm not that clever, just saying. The Gospel of John. I think if I asked most of you, you'd be able to tell me how it started. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. John, amongst all the Gospel writers, wanted to take us back to the beginning of time, to the beginning of nothingness. I can't get my head around that. And that's where God first recognised us, all those millions of years ago. That's how much we mean to him. And if you read John's Gospel, you will go through, and it says, and the next day, and the next day. Now we're on the third day, because the reading started with, on the third day. So he's echoing Genesis, the provision in Genesis, okay. He's not only doing that, he's bringing the end times in as well, because after this particular passage, we go on to Jesus cleansing the temple. Now, Jesus will come again. We know that because it's been promised. He will come again. There will be a party, and there will also be a time of cleansing. Yeah? So it is really very cleverly encompassed in the whole Bible. So Jesus and his disciples and his mother were at this wedding, enjoying themselves. It never ceases to amaze me how some people think Christians can't have a good time. I don't understand that. Maybe we need to party outside a bit more. I don't know. Leave that thought with you. And then, the wine gave out. Now, that's a bit of a disaster for our days, isn't it, when the wine gave out? I haven't been to a party when the wine did give out. Close on one of our daughter's weddings. Got very close. I did actually say it'd been good to have Jesus there because we could have sorted that out quite quickly. Anyway, in those days, it was actually cause for people bring lawsuits against the family. Can you believe that? And the mother of Jesus, Mary, said to him, now, Joseph we don't think was about, so the mother. It would have been Joseph who would have spoken to Jesus, but Mary, his mother, spoke to him. I don't think he spoke loudly, because she didn't want everybody to hear that there was no wine. It would have been a whisper. The wine's run out. And he equally would have perhaps whispered to her, woman. Now, that brought me up. If my husband called me woman, there would be an interesting discussion after that. But, not to take offence, Jesus on the cross said, woman, here is your son, didn't he? So it's this is my thing, not to be called woman, just saying. What concern is it to you? My hour has not yet come. I think when Jesus says, my hour has not yet come, it's not that he didn't want to do a signpost. I'm not going to call them miracles. I'll tell you why later. If I remember, if I don't, ask me. He's talking about his hour on the cross. That's when his hour would come. And he didn't want to bring that any closer, because it's all in God's anointed time. My hour has not yet come. Everything Jesus did and said and spoke, whatever, was always with the full authority of the Father. And he was there to do his first signpost. And indeed, throughout the Gospels, Jesus does get accosted but he slips away because his hour has not yet come. So we start with his mother speaking with him. Now she's been remonstrated with. She now makes a statement which has changed her relationship with her son. She's now speaking to him in faith as a believer when she says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. And that's appropriate to us as well, isn't it, really? Because we are called to do God's work on this place, and we can usually be excited on one hand, and the other hand might be filled with trepidation. Yeah? Probably recognise that. We often speak about opening and closing doors, don't we? Jesus opened that door for us, and sometimes we open the door and there's something that we're not expecting to see. It might be a vertical drop, I don't know. But that's where we have to have our trust in God. And John tells us there were the 6 stone jars, each holding 20 or 30 gallons, and they were there for the Jewish rites of purification. And I thought, well, Jesus could have said to God, just could you fill those jars up with wine, please? But why didn't he? Why didn't he? He asked the servants to do it. And it wasn't a question of them turning on a tap and filling these stone jars with 150 to 180 gallons, if my maths is correct. A lot of gallons. They needed to be filled. And they had to go to the well and bring all these gallons of water back. And they did it well because they filled the stone jars to the brim. That's faith. That's Jesus using servants. That's Jesus not going to the high and mighty. It's Jesus going to the servants. And I think that he asked them to fill the jars with water, and they did so because we're looking at the old covenant. He was with the Jewish family celebrating their wedding, and they had to have water for purification, yeah? They believed in sacrifice. So you have the water of the old covenant, the water where you had guilt, you had frequent washing, you couldn't be absolved from your sins because you kept sinning. That's what that water was. But it is turned into something beautiful. That is the wine. That is Jesus' blood. So therefore, we don't have to wash. We don't have to sacrifice because Jesus does that for us on the cross. And that's what I think Jesus is pointing to. His hour, where his blood is the wine, the best wine you could ever have, the very best wine. And that's why I think we have the water being turned into wine and the servants are being used. And it also struck me that we do need to look out for signposts, don't we? That signpost of the water into wine. There are other signposts, and John calls them signposts. The feeding of the 5,000, a signpost to Jesus being, I am the bread of life, yeah? When Jesus healed the blind man, I am the light of the world. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, I am the resurrection of the life, yeah? They were signposts, and it's up for us to look for signposts too. I will admit, what I'm saying here but is a reference to me too. I do miss signposts, and we can all miss signposts. Does anybody know the film Bruce Almighty? Spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear it, put your fingers in your ears. Jim Carrey went to work that morning and he got fired and he came out and he was so cross. I get that. So he got in his car and he was going, listen to you, God, you pal. You sort this out now and you sort it out now. Give me some signs. And you see Jim Carrey driving along and it's a big illuminated sign that says, caution ahead. Anyway, he didn't see it. So sometimes if you're angry, you tend to drive a bit faster, don't you? Put your foot down. Anyway, he put his foot down. And he was still remonstrating with God. He said, God, I need a sign. So a truck pulled out right in front of him. And it said, stop. Danger ahead. Anyway, he crashed into the truck. So he was very, 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 very cross with God. Because he was not taking in the fact that there were signposts for him. He'd asked for them and he still hadn't seen them. Anyway, Jim Carrey went on at the invitation of God, to be God for a day, and he just couldn't cope. It was just too many prayers wanted, too many healings needed, too much stuff going on. In the end, he had to say to God, I'm so sorry. I didn't see the signposts. I didn't see them. And who am I to question what you do, God? Who am I to question anything? I need to humble myself. I think that's a good lesson for us all, that we do need to humble ourselves before God. I want to divert slightly now to the story in the Old Testament about Elijah and the widow. I sometimes think it would be great if God actually spoke to me clearly, with no cause for prevarication or lack of interpretation on my part. I do stand firm, though, that if I do things in God's name which are full of his peace, love and compassion, he will honour that. And to be like Elijah, Elijah had just come from King Ahab and he said to King Ahab, you know, there's going to be a drought and you are the responsible, you are the cause of it all. Yeah. It's not a very comfortable place to be, I don't think. If God actually spoke to me clearly, I haven't processed that thought process yet. I'm still going through that. But anyway, God said to Elijah, I'm going to give you a... find this widow and she'll provide you with food. It doesn't seem to think that the widow has actually got that message, but never mind. But Elijah did what he was told. He didn't know what was going to happen. But he went anyway. And he could have gone and been comfortable, but he didn't. It was a place of drought. It was a place of little food and water. And it got me thinking, because in the last few weeks we've been looking at passages from Isaiah and Jeremiah, all the Old Testament prophets, and they lived solitary lives. They were very much on their own. That's the new covenant. That's the old covenant, sorry, you know, with the water. And yet Jesus, with his new covenant, gave us, with his disciples and his example with his disciples, gave us to live in community. We have a community. We have our church family. We are blessed with that church family. We are a community. What I'm now going to say has been really laid on my heart by God. We need to love each other. We need to think before we speak. We need to seek God. Why am I saying this? And I will be repeating it. The ministry team have had to deal with many things during the last 21 months that we haven't had. And we've come to realise that Mark dealt with a lot of stuff. And he was never, in some cases, in a position to speak about it. He held his counsel and he respected situation of people. He took a lot on his shoulders that we have no knowledge about. We have had a glimpse. There is an edict from the diocese which the incumbent can put before us to say, this is how you look after your rector or your incumbent. Mark did not share that because it was only for clergy. Okay? Not for anybody else who serves in the church, just for the clergy. To our family, through a couple of things which really came to mind is, you know, if someone has done something wrong against you, speak with them. If there's repentance, forgive them. If you want to remove a speck from someone else's eye, have a look at the log in your own. Speaking to me as well about all this. We need to love one another. We need to care for one another. We need to respect each other. God has called us into this community. Please, please, can we ask God about what we want to say in situations? And just temper our thoughts and prayers to what God would have us do. Yeah? That has really been laid on my heart. Amen.